Do you have any interests outside of work?
What about you? I'd like to know more about you.
There's really not much to know about me. Look at me.
I am.
I'm joined in the studio by Philippa and Roz from FETSOC. Now, I'm afraid, sorry, I've forgotten your positions. You are the chair.
Yep, I'm the chair.
And
I'm the secretary.
Anyway, what we're here to talk about is 50 Shades of Grey is being released in UK cinemas on Valentine's Day, I believe, which I'm...
Just the day before, actually.
The day before, yeah. I'm sure some marketer somewhere had an absolute sort of field day with that. But in tandem with this, you have a 50 Shades event coming up, right?
Yeah, so there's a really contrived kind of relationship between 50 Shades as the franchise and the fetish community, which it sort of claims to represent. Essentially, it's a non-representative showing of BDSM culture and BDSM lifestyle. And so we are going to do an event where we are basically autopsying 50 Shades before the movie release so that we can point out which bits are good in it and which bits are bad in it and what BDSM lifestyle is actually like.
Okay, so do you have high hopes for the film that's coming out or not?
Oh, it's going to be interesting. I'm definitely going to go see it. I think that it's going to be a very toned-down version of 50 Shades. And in some ways, that's a good thing. So the consent issues in the book, I would really, really hope, get cut out of the movie version in a sort of whitewashing way. But also, the USP of 50 Shades is that it is sexy. And if the film can't live up to the sexy expectations, I think people are going to get very disappointed for their Valentine's Day rom-com.
I guess I'd like to talk briefly more about the event.
Our 50 Shades event is called Beyond the Monochrome because consent is not shades of grey. And it's going to be on Friday the 6th of February at 7:30pm. It's going to be a fantastic night of member-led talks on 50 Shades and the controversy with the consent issues in it and also how it doesn't properly represent BDSM in public culture. There's going to be some talks on the history of erotica and how the fact that this means that people are talking about kink is wonderful, but also things like dramatic readings by Erotica, who are a fantastic blog who just rip to shreds badly written fan fiction. And they'll be talking about how important it is that we don't idolise what is essentially an abusive relationship in the book itself.
Okay, so I'm getting the impression that overall your opinions of the book are not exactly high. I think it might benefit if we just briefly outline. I'm sure your event will do an awful lot to do this, but just for us on the radio now, what are the major problems are consent-based?
Yeah, so in 50 Shades, you have a relationship between a male dominant and a female submissive, which is absolutely fine. And those relationships within BDSM, even though they may look like a difficult power exchange to outside eyes, because it's negotiated and it's consensual, it's okay. Whereas in this book, the consent is really pushed. There are things like going through safe words. Safe words are used when people want to be able to say no, 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 and so they have a word that actually means no, but isn't no, so they can feel a bit more secure within their play. And in this book, that's completely disregarded. They really don't have that much in the way of Christian Grey taking Anna's feelings into consideration or even her safety. So it turns into quite an abusive relationship. And also, best practice is not done very well in the book. For someone who's meant to be a BDSM expert, Christian Grey is a really terrible dom. Things like tying people up with cable ties is not something that we would ever recommend. We have rope workshops, which is one of our most popular events, where we teach people the art of shibari, which is Japanese rope bondage, and we teach them how to do it safely. And the emphasis is always on having your rope bunny, which is the person being tied up, alive and happy at the end of it.
Alive?
Alive at well.
This is quite, I mean...
Well, exactly.
But a cable tie presumably is... I don't know exactly what it is, but presumably that's a pretty unpleasant piece of material.
A cable tie only tightens, it doesn't okay. loosen, and you have to cuss it out of it afterwards.
And also with the pressure on a specific area, you're more likely to cut off someone's circulation with a cable tie than do anything sexy.
So this brings us to a sort of fundamental thing, which, I mean, we can talk about whether or not the film's going to do the same things a bit later, but overall, the net effect on the kink or BDSM community that 50 Shades has had and is going to have, What are your opinions of it? Because I know you've mentioned to me before that the membership has exploded of FetSoc the last couple of years.
Absolutely.
And I can't help but think that this is somewhat related to 50 Shades.
Yeah, I think people who come to the society because they read 50 Shades and they thought, I kind of, you know, those are things that I like to do as well, or those are fantasies that I enjoy. You are so welcome in FetSoc. The fact that people are talking about kink, that women are reading erotica on the train and talking about it with their mothers and things, that is phenomenal. And anyone who's interested in that kind of thing, you do not need to be ashamed of your interests. But the important thing is to learn how to take a fantasy like 50 Shades and turn it into a safe reality. And that's where FetSoc really comes in, with promoting best practice and providing a nice supportive space for people to talk about things and meet other kinksters. We have a welfare team of 3 welfare officers who are on call 24/7, who are really, really helpful within the society. And we also love to promote consent wherever we can.
I do think that having a film like that portrays BDSM in mainstream media, I mean, that's fantastic. It is getting the word out there. Now, like Pippa said, it's about getting people to turn their fantasies into a safe reality and not sort of run amok with what they think is the correct thing to do.
I've heard that in combination with the release of 50 Shades, there's been a certain effect on the sex toy industry and a certain amount of collaborative, sort of commercial-driven enterprises going on.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, they've been very, very good with the marketing of this film in that they've both brought out a line of sex toys beforehand, which are the official 50 Shades of Grey sex toys, and those are used in the film. But it gives a really weird effect because these are obviously met to a price point, like they are, you know, things that people can afford. So it's really weird when you're watching multi-billionaire Christian Grey in the trailer pulling out this nasty ass, like, cheap polyester blindfold, and it's just like, I thought this was your life. I thought BDSM was like your big thing. But yeah,
he's got a bit of
so
plastic.
Much money, you should be able to afford some good sex toys.
Exactly. And we love that his tie, the official Christian Grey tie, is now available at Love Honey, which is a sex toy website. And the reviews for it are just glorious because in the book he ties it up with his tie. That's cool, it's spontaneous. Buying the actual tie, and this is a nasty polyester tie as well, this is not nice. Buying the actual tie, I just don't know how much that authenticity is going to have an impact on your sex life. I can't vouch for having the authentic tie as making your sex phenomenal. But
to be honest,
if it's your kink, go for it.
I don't think people should model themselves after Christian Grey.
I don't think so either.
So, did you see yourself a good tie first.
Yeah. Did you see his rope work in the trailer? Like, that he's got some rope work going on. He's tied her down to the bed with some red rope, and he's literally just draped some rope over her wrist in a way that I can see because I'm the shibari teacher at FetSoc, and I'm just looking at that thinking, if I taught that to one of my students, I would be out of here. Like, they would fire me for teaching that kind of stuff. That's going to tighten. That's going to, you know, cut off circulation. Like,
she has to hold the ties as well.
It's very strange. Yeah. Very strange. Something's meant to be so bondage-focused. They don't seem to have done a lot of their homework on how bondage works.
And this is actually something I want to talk about as well, because during the trailer, now I don't know a vast amount about the film, I haven't done a huge amount of research, but I've watched all the trailers, and as far as I can see, the sort of bondage side of it, it's really quite restrained. Like, for a film which is supposed to be super risque, and I get that a lot of trailers are, you know, they're designed for wide audiences, sort of, but I mean, if you're taking your children and they're watching a 50 Shades of Grey trailer, then, like, you shouldn't be shocked when something you know, slightly sexual comes up. As far as I can see, all there is a couple of shots of some ropes, a whip, and then some fiddling about with an ice cube.
I mean, it's interesting. So we have a kind of thing in the 50 Shades community, not the 50 Shades community, sorry. We have a thing in the BDSM community, which is essentially that there is no shame between people who like to play lightly and people who like to play heavily. Some people get as much of an emotional response out of someone for just, you know, brushing their hair with a, you know, or stroking them with a feather or using ice or something like that, as you would from someone being sort of hog-tied from the ceiling. And so whatever it is that turns you on, that's totally okay if it's between consenting adults. But I would agree with you, for a film that's USP is meant to be, this is incredibly risque, there's very little in terms of actual bondage and BDSM going on. I don't know how much they're going to incorporate into
the film,
though.
I think it'll be interesting to see how much gets shown in the film. But actually, I'm just thinking about other films, for example, Nymphomaniac. That was very sexual.
Very sexual.
I'm wondering if it's going to go up to that level, for example.
The thing that I love about this is that the spanking and the flogging and all the things that are probably going to be in this film, if they were sold under new UK regulations for pornography, would not be allowed. Because the government, as you may know, recently brought in a load of restrictions which really affected, obviously from a feminist angle, it really affected things because things like squirting and face-sitting were banned topics for
it. Yeah, wasn't it basically banned from any pornography being produced which contains these?
Being sold in the UK, yeah. Yeah, to be sold. So if we're going to be watching this... technically, this could be more risque than the porn that I could buy in the UK from now on. If it shows any kind of, I think it was heavy flogging was the thing that they particularly objected to.
Heavy flogging,
a light flogging should be fine. I mean, but yeah, I think I find that really, really annoying.
So generally, of the film, expectations. Roz, first of all.
Well, I'm going through reviewing the film for news. So we'll have to see then. My expectations, it's not going to be great. It's probably going to be badly produced, badly directed, and badly acted. In terms of for the kink community, I'm hoping to see good things. I'm hoping that people come away and think, that was cool, now I want to do my research. It worries me if people don't then go on to do the research, and that's why I think FetSuck is really important, because we're here, we're very public, so if anyone has any questions, they can just come in and find out about it.
So very much what we're trying to say is that great if it gets you interested, don't just go and do it yourself. Go and find, you know, someone who knows about it. And the obvious option is to come to FetSoc.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think really, really great for people to feel that they are not strange or should be ashamed in any way of their kinks and their thoughts. I think it's fantastic if it gets people talking about kink more. But fortunately, the backlash to the consent issues in it so far on the internet has been such that now people are very happy to tell you, oh, well, actually, I think you'll find that the consent issue in there is not representative at all. I think as long as we get that kind of snobbery on top of 50 Shades, then we should all be okay.
Absolutely. Has there been any response from the filmmakers from this?
The main thing is that people have been reporting on the toning down, the taking out of scenes, the really kind of, especially with how much sex you can show in a movie. If it wants to be shown in America, they really have to limit the amount of sex that can be shown at all. It's an ambitious project to make.
And that's what we're seeing now in the British porn laws. It is the sort of censorship of female pleasure, these are laws created mainly by middle class males, and he's just not being asked.
Middle class, middle aged white males.
Yes, and it's not, I don't know, it's like female pleasure is not okay.
It comes up in 50 Shades as well. So in 50 Shades, the book, now it's written by a woman, but the focus is almost entirely on Christian Grey's pleasure and not Anna's. We get a lot of interior monologue from Anna, and in particular descriptions which are just wonderful of her inner goddess doing things. That's the way she expresses her sort of sexuality and libido, which is, you know, annoying in the books, but it's okay, I can deal with it. But still, the focus is on her confusion and her inner turmoil and how she almost doesn't want the things that are happening. And the focus on Christian Grey's stuff is entirely on the fact that he is driven to do these acts. He's enjoying these acts. Basically, she is just a pawn in his sort of mentally masturbatory ideas, which I think is just appalling and does, in fact, reflect the porn laws in the UK, that it's absolutely fine. Men also get a bad deal in this because men in 50 Shades of Grey are portrayed to be predatory or only looking for sex or, you know, in some way you need a man to rescue you. There's a wonderful bit, and by wonderful I mean dreadful, when Anna is first sort of introduced and she's wondering why Christian Grey would be interested in her, and she describes herself in such self-deprecating tones. But it's not a case of self-deprecating tones and then in a manic pixie dream girl sort of way, Christian Grey makes her realise stuff about herself. It's that she becomes a possession of his.
She becomes useful to him.
Yes, she is entirely just another of his possessions. He has a helicopter, he has a big house, he's got his red room of pain, and now he's got a sub, which means a submissive person in the relationship, just the person to whom things are done rather than the person doing the things. I think it's really ridiculous how women, even in a female-written novel, are written in as tokens and as prizes to be won without any emotions of their own.
Any final thoughts, then, on any final thoughts, any final plugs you'd like to do for your event? Any just thoughts on Fifty Shades, the Fifty Shades film, or, you know, just film and the kink community in general?
I would say definitely come along to our 50 Shades event, Beyond the Monochrome, because consent is not shades of grey, which is on Friday the 6th of February at 7:30 p.m. It's going to be a wonderful night, and whether you like 50 Shades or you hate it, it's going to be informative. But if you're interested about the world of kink or just curious about what we do, come along to that night, see who's in the society. There's going to be questions to the panel, anonymous questions from the audience. So if you've got any questions about it, do come along and see us there.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Ros, Louise and Philippa.
Thanks for having us.
And now back to whatever was going on before.